Okay, Parshas Yisro. I only have a few short things to tell you. I don't have that much today. Not that I ever do. But, what? I'm in a lot of trouble tonight. After that sign, I got Chalisha Zadas.
Yeah.
What would my mother say if she saw that sign? She would have a good laugh. She would have... Okay, let's begin. Beginning of the pasuk said, this week we learned about Mishpat. Yisrael, the Chosein Moshe, comes to visit Moshe in the desert, and he observes Moshe's Yoshev B'Mishpat, Yoshev L'Vadecha, V'chol Ha'am. Everyone is coming to ask questions from Boker Ad Aref. Vayoyimer Moshe L'Chosno Ki Yavoy Elai Ha'am Lidroi Shalakim. They're coming to seek Hashem. That itself is a very powerful word, that the mishpat, the disputes between the different people, are not really, they're just excuses. It's a very interesting pasuk. To be Dorish Elokim in Chazal always means to understand Hashem. Most of the time today, when people have a dispute, it's nothing religious. It's just a matter of money. It's just a question of, and that's an excuse to fight. But yet in the Midbar, when you're living Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, eating the man, whenever there was a disagreement, it was an excuse. Oh, let's now have an opportunity to come to Moshe Rabbeinu and listen to what he has to say. Many of the disagreements are probably who if there's money, each party says, I owe you money. I have an obligation to give you the money. And the other one would say, no, I gave it to you as a gift, or I pay you. There's no need for you to give me a refund. The disputes were not disputes today. We're trying to take. The disputes where people were trying to give. And in that process, people used it as an opportunity to come to Moshe and to learn from Moshe and to seek a understanding, to be doyresh elokim. So that is a very important limud mussar, that when a person has a dispute, you should not just use the din Torah as an excuse to fight. It should be a means to come closer to Hashem. All right, but let's go for it. Pasuk Zayin says, "Ki yelochem davar bo ilai." When they have a matter, bo ilai, the shofatiti ben ishu ben reeu v'hoidati eskutei v'lokiv yes Torah says. I saw in the sefer a very powerful diyuk. The pasuk should really have said, "Ki yelochem bo da, ki yihye lohem." Lohem is b'loshon rabim davar bo u ilai. It should have been written, "Bo u," they come to me, plural. Ba is b'loshon yachid. So why does it say in the pasuk, when there is a matter, boilai, the davar kiyam l'kiyihi elohem davar boilai. It's not grammatically. It's not grammatically correct. Ba'u elai. So perhaps
why can't it be on the word davar? The thing is coming.
Oh, so that's the sefer that I saw. That's what he wants to say. He wants to say is that the davar is ba. The davar is ba, and that's really what I wanted to try to bring out, but a little bit different than what I saw in this sefer. But the basic idea is, we know that today there's man hazeh and chosh ha-mishrim, giving chosh ha-mishrim, there's a concept that we are not, there's no one today alive that is qualified to paskin midin Torah. Today, if you ever have the unfortunate situation to go to a bezdin, Ruba de Ruba Bezin works the principle called Pshara. Now that doesn't mean you walk into court and you have a claim, you're going to instantly get $500,000. You have a claim of $100 million, you're going to get not Chas Shalom. It means there's a basic Talmidei Chachamim are supposed to understand the Halacha, and they use Halacha as a guide. But since there's no one today that's qualified to know Halacha perfectly, to decide a matter 100%, there's going to be some attempt, an attempt at least, for some type of compromise. Not a compromise necessarily 50-50, it may be 90-10, it may be 80-20, it may be 70-30, and sometimes if the Dayanim feel that it's a very difficult halachic issue and there are two tzadim which have legitimacy, it will be 50-50. You hear about this very often. In the second court, it's like this all the time. There's always a bit of pshara, and pretty much the dispute resolution today has turned into dispute resolution instead of not, it's not 100% halacha, because the truth is no one today is not azeh can say that they know the halacha well enough. Matters of chayish and mishpat are so complex, you could say a svara every which way, there has to be some degree. Yeah.
It changed. It used to be because they couldn't say halacha,
because
you went to a bezin and you signed a tzav berurim that said they would make a pasman das Torah. Das Torah, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Shara means they want to make a solution that can be
satisfying.
Satisfy both sides. It should be a feel good. Nebuch, she doesn't have money, so give her money. Das Torah will say no. I'm not.
That's the halacha.
That's our conception of the halacha. We don't have the koyach.
Right.
So we're paskening a base.
They'll use Das Torah, their understanding of the halacha, to basic guidance.
But
it's going to be 80-20.
Don't even bother with Das Torah, because when you
don't even have Das Torah yet.
Not they don't have it. They're not interested in doing the Das Torah. It's like
no, that's not a bezin.
Like
that's not a bezin. That's a go to a court. That's not a bezin.
Right.
The bezin, you work the best that you can. If it says explicitly in Shulchan Aruch,
it says Shara and Astara. That's it.
Okay, it's every court is different.
It's just like going to a.
It's very complicated. Every bezin is different, and the people who go to the bezin have to accept the decision. They're supposed, you go into a bezin and it says in Shulchan Aruch, this is the halacha, that's the halacha. Nothing to talk about. You can't go and award a person money that doesn't belong to him. If it says in Shulchan Aruch, this is the halacha, and it's clear as day, so the person loses. That's the way it is. But if they are tutzadim and really make an idea, one person if one is wrong, and you don't really don't know, so you do the best that you can do. Moshe Rabbeinu obviously was the ideal court, but Moshe Rabbeinu, there was din. There was no pshara. When you deal with pshara, then it's ki yelam davar bohu elai. What does it mean, bohu elai? You're right, and you're right. Two people have come to me with claims. Reuven has a claim, and Shimon has a claim. You're right, and you're right. What am I going to do? I don't know. We'll make a compromise. Each one will give in a little bit, otherwise we'll be stuck forever. That's unfortunately the way it is today. The reason why we have a difficulty reading this pasuk is because today there is no such thing as Das Torah. Today there is, we use the best that we can, the Shulchan Aruch, but we have to follow a system of Pshar as well. But Moshe Rabbeinu did not have that problem. Moshe Rabbeinu, by him it was clear as day, and therefore Bo Eli. When two people come to court, it's one. It's singular. There's only one issue in court. There's only one party in court that is correct. The party that is wrong is Sheker. Two people come to court, two litigants, and make claims. One doesn't exist. There's only one person in front of me, the right person. That's the one that's Bo Eli. And him, I will award, and I will extract the money from the person that's a liar, that's Sheker, that's wrong. So that's indeed really why it says Bo Eli. And the reason why we look at this pasuk strange is because we're living in a generation where everyone is right. There is no Das Torah. So Bezin has to operate with the system of Shara. So the name is Bo Eli, you're both right. But this is not the ideal. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here Yisro. Yisro says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I got a great idea for you. Let me read you the words of the pasuk, what he suggests. He tells him, Ata shma b'kol yotzcha v'hilu k'mimach, heyei ata l'om. You will be the leader, mul l'kim, and you will bring the difficult things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He goes on, v'ata na'v you. I'm giving you a laundry list of what you should do, Moshe. I want you to find Anshei Chayil, number one. Number two, Yirei Elokim. That's already a tall order. Anshei Chayil seemingly means, it's hard to translate exactly what it means here, Anshei Chayil. The Targum says, it says, Guvrin Dechayil, men of strength. Men of strength. Rashi says, Ashirim. People that are wealthy, they will not be influenced by bribes. They don't need the money of the people that pay them. They're not subject to bribes. Anshei Chayil, Ashim, Yirei Elokim, Anshei Emes, that's almost impossible. Sonei Vatsa, they detest Betza. The Samtam Aleihem, and you will appoint these people, this list, Chayil, Yirei Elokim, Anshei Emes, and Ivatsa, four different conditions. The Samt Aleihem, Sorei Alafim, Sorei Meir, Sorei Chamishim, Sorei Asaras. Okay, fine. Moshe listens to what Yisro has to say. Vayishma Yisro Lekol Choisno, to the sound of his father-in-law. Now here is a very difficult pasuk. Vayas Kol Asher Omar. He does everything that he says. Kol, that's what it says in the pasuk. Now you'll tell me, oh, kol doesn't mean everything. Kol means roiv. Okay, even if it means roiv, if there are four conditions, you have to have at least three of the three, right? You have 50-50, so roiv is at least three of the conditions. Kol asher omar. Omar. And the pasuk goes on to describe what exactly Moshe does. Vayivchar Moshe anshei chayil. Moshe, he selects anshei chayil, mikol Yisrael. And what about the other three conditions? Anshei emes, yirei lekim, sonei botza. Doesn't say that. Vayitei noisem rashim al-om, and he points him to be leaders of the people, sorei al-fim, sorei v'yos, sorei al-chamitim, sorei al-saros. Vishavtu esom choleis. Contradiction. What is going on? Moshe Rabbeinu was told, I'm going to do kol asher osa, and Moshe only fulfills one out of the four conditions. How are we to understand this pasuk? So perhaps the answer is by taking note of another major discrepancy between Yisro's advice and Moshe's response. Yisro says to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shavtu Esam Choleis, these people that you select, they will judge the Jewish people at every moment. V'haya kol hadavar hagodol. Any matter that is godol. How would you translate the words godol? Things which are
major.
What's major? Multi-million dollar deals. Monopolies, buyouts, bankruptcies, kol davar hagadol, corporate litigation. Yaviu elech v'chol hadavar hakoton, anything which is small, petty cash, $10-$20 a fight over two kids fighting in service, $10-$20. Yishpitu heim, so the low level judges, the entry level judges, they'll take care of the davar koton, but the lower courts, but the davar gadol, things which are important to society, that will be judged by Moshe Rabbeinu. V'akel mi'olecha v'nasu itach, and this will make it light from upon you, and you'll be able to bear the people. When Moshe Rabbeinu responds, the words are a little bit different. V'yivcha Moshe anshe chayil, okay, v'shavtu es ha'om b'chol eis, es hadavar ha'kosheh. Moshe substituted gadol for the word kosher. Kosher, he just substituted. Instead of it being gadol, Moshe said, the davar that's kosher, it says, what happened? Hadavar ha-kosher yiviyun el Moshe. V'chol hadavar ha-koton yishputuhem, or the things that were small were judged by the lower level courts. So I believe that this discrepancy answers the other question. In other words, Chazal tell us that when Moshe listened to Yisro, he looked for Anshei Yirei Elokim, and he looked for Anshei Emes, and he looked for Soni Botza, he looked for these type of people, but he couldn't find them. They didn't exist. The most Moshe Rabbeinu can find was Anshei Chal. He took the best that he can. That doesn't answer the question, because the pasuk still says that he did Kol Asher Omar. He did everything that Yisro, that he was told to do. So how then can the pasuk say that he fulfilled the words of Yisro? The answer is, he told Yisro, you're making a very big mistake. There are a lot of different discrepancies between Yisro's understanding of Mishpat. Yisro was a Koimer, he was from Umas HaOlam, he did not have a full appreciation for the Kiddush of Klal Yisrael. He said, by Klal Yisrael, there's no difference if there's a dispute between two people, and it's over $1, and the issues in Halacha are complex. In the Torah, that is the same thing as a dispute over millions of dollars. It's not the money. It's the halacha. You could have a dispute over millions of dollars, and it's clear cut. It's clear cut that Reuven is right, Shimon is wrong. For such a matter, although it may be millions of dollars, and it'll be on the front page of all the newspapers, you don't need me. It's Shulchan Aruch. Open up a Shulchan Aruch, read what it says, and it's case closed. So that we can give it to the entry-level judge. The person is right out of law school, he will get the case, he will judge, he will decide, case closed. But if two children come to courts, and they're fighting over a candy they found in the schoolyard, and the issues touch upon the ketzos and the nesivis, and the shach and the taz, and it encompasses dal chelke shulchan aruch, and the dayanim have a difficult time understanding who owns this piece of candy. This is something which has to come to me, because the principle, the halachic principle, the yisodos, this is important. So he corrected Yisro by telling him, it's not a matter of gadol and katon, of money, big money and small money. It's a matter of kasha, things that are difficult. Now, there is one part of this Jewish which is not perfect, because Moshe still uses the word katon. So yeah, I'm suggesting, I don't have a perfect answer, that requires more thought, but perhaps the word katon is relative to the word kosher. When you change the word from gadol to the word kosher, then the word katon has a new meaning. If the word is gadol, and gadol means has a connotation of $1 million, then when you say the word katon, katon means $1. When you start out with kosher, meaning difficult, then when you say katon, it means cow. It has a connotation of it being easy. Moshe Rabbeinu corrected Yisro by explaining to him that here in Klal Yisrael, it's not a matter of money. It's a matter of Shulchan Aruch, Halacha, concepts, Yedios. And that answers the other question. If Dayanim have that sensitivity, that when issues come to court, it's not a matter of money, it's a matter of the complexity of the halachic issues, and they know where to direct the question, Nimela, that's Yira Shemayim. That's Soni Betza. That is Anshei Emes. Right now, I don't have these people. I don't have people who are Yira Shemayim, Anshei Emes, Soni Betza. But when I teach the people the secret of what Torah is all about, that it's not a matter of Godel and Koton, it's a matter of Kosher and Koton, and they know this little Yuli Sod, and that's how the courts are established, we're going to fulfill Kol Asher Omar. Everything you want will be fulfilled, because Mimela, the Dayanim will turn, they'll be transformed into people who are Anshei Emes, Soni Botza, and Yorei Hashem. Okay, that is one idea. Okay, now let me go off to something a little different. We have here, when Moshe, Hashem comes to give the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says this beautiful pasuk that you saw what I did for you when I took you out of Mitzrayim. I carried you on the Kanfei Nisharim. Carried you on the Kanfei Nisharim. This begins B'chodesh HaShlishi. Atem Yisem Asher Asisi L'Mitzrayim Bo Eso Eschem Al kanfei nisharim v'avi eschem Eloi, and I brought you Eloi to me. I brought you. Now there's a beautiful Targum Yenisim and Uzil, a very mystical Targum Yenisim and Uzil, which says that when the Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, actually they were jetliners, commercial jets, Dreamliner. Everyone got on the Dreamliner, the kanfei nisharim, and they landed in Tel Aviv, and they right away got on some buses. They went to Yerushalayim. They brought the Korban Pesach. It says it's in Targum Yenisim and Uzil. I don't know if it says which airline, was El Al, or whatever, American Airlines, exactly who it was. But they were taken by Kanfei Nisharim to Eretz Yisrael, and they offered the Korban Pesach, and they ate the Korban Pesach, and then the Kanfei Nisharim took them back to Mitzrayim to continue where we left off. That's what it says in Targum Yenisim and Uzil. It's a very difficult medrash, obviously, but it's quoted by Targum Yenisim and Uzil. But what is this about the Kanfei Nisharim? What's the deeper meaning of the Kanfei? I want to tell you two things. First of all, there's a discussion in the Masechet Chulin as to the siman for kosher birds. And the Gemara, in order for a bird to be kosher, it has to have four simanim. And the Gemara describes the different siman, has an extra thumb, it has to have a crop, its kurkuvan has to be peeled, and it can't be a doyres. It may not be a doyres. There are four simanim which a bird needs in order to be kosher. The Gemara goes through, there are 24 birds listed in the Torah, in Parsha Shemini, in Parsha Sra'ei, and the Gemara breaks down the 24 non-kosher birds into the categories of birds, there are some birds which have only one simon. There are some birds which have two simonim, which make them non-kosher. There are some birds which have three. And the only bird that has all four simonim, which make it 100% non-kosher, is the nesher. The nesher is in the class by itself among the birds, the 24 birds listed in the Torah. It has all four of this simonim, which make it not kosher. And that's why many challenge that the nesher cannot be what we translate as the eagle. Because the eagle has an extra finger, right? I believe it has the extra finger, so it cannot possibly be the way the Gemara describes the Nesher. Has to be some variation of what we refer to as the eagle, or whatever it is. Okay, but what is the significance? The significance is every day we live in a generation where we're looking for simonim. This is a drush. We're looking for simonim. Oh, this happened. It snowed on this day. and there's a Targum, and there's a Daf Yomi. It's a siman Mashiach is coming. I don't know how you go from there to Mashiach coming. This happened, it's a siman that this is going to happen. This is a siman. The Geul is just around the corner because of there are simanim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the birds, have simanim. Birds are very spiritual creatures. We eat birds, fish, but birds are related to the avir. A lot about birds last week by the Shira. Birds are spiritual creatures. From all of the birds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to take us out of Mitzrayim, the way it's described, our exodus of Mitzrayim was Vo'esa Eschamis, this is the catch-all pasuk, Al Kanfei Nisharim, on the wings of the Nesher. What's the deeper meaning? There were no simanim. There were no kosher simanim. It's the only bird that has zero, not even one zecher of being kosher. Other birds, it's a little kosher. It doesn't have all four, so we have to say that it's not kosher. But a shtickle kosher. It has a korkovan. Its korkovan is peeled. It has a zepek. It has an extra finger. It doesn't have all four, But at least this epis, there's something. The Nesher is zero. And it was on the Nesher Hashem took us out, meaning Geula can come unexpected. No simonim.
From Treif. From Zion.
I didn't say Treif.
From Zion.
Okay, you're extrapolating. You're extrapolating. Al Kanfei Nesharim, a person should not think. It's a very achakeloi animale mushum vias am sheikh alfi shayisnev im kol ze achakelo bechol yom sheyovo. Is it going to come in our lifetime? Is it really going to come? Doesn't seem like it, right? I don't know about you. You can sense things are happening to the degree where it has to be Mashiach is coming. They are simanim muvhakim. No, the same way Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim on a kanfei nisharim. There are no simanim. The Geula Hasida is going to say a replica. There are many psukim in my Chazal that the Geula Hasida replicates the Geula of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It will be Al Kanfei Nesharim. It's specifically the Nesher. It's just going to happen out of the blue. Achake lo b'chol yom sheyava. Okay, that's one drush. Another beautiful Chidush Horim. This comes straight from the Chidush Horim. It's a beautiful, beautiful word. He quotes the Rashi. What's the significance of the Kanfei Nesharim? Rashi gives us the Iker significance of the Nesher. I must read you the words of this Rashi. Give me one second. Kinesher Hanoisei Goizlov Al Kinofov. What does that mean? Shekol Shara Oifos. With regard to all other birds, Noistim Espinehem Bein Raglehem, the bird positions its prey, its children between its legs, underneath. Cargo, underneath. Lefi, why? Shemisyarim Me Oif Acher Sheporech Al Gabehem. Because it's afraid all of the birds fly low. They fly a low altitude, and it's afraid that there will be a bird that will come on top of it and grab the child, the vulnerable child. Therefore, a regular bird who's afraid of a predator coming from above will protect its children by holding them underneath. Aval, the Nesher flies above all the other birds. Aval Nesher has ze'ena misyore, it's not afraid, the elam in ha'odam. Because the Nesher flies above all the birds. So what is the Nesher afraid of? Man. Man are shooting missiles. They're shooting arrows from the ground to attack the bird. Shema Yizraik Boichetz Levishein Oif Parech Al Gabov. Because the Oif is not Parech Al Gabov. Lekach, therefore, Noisnei Al Kenof. Therefore, the Nesher puts the children on its wings. Oimer, what does the Nesher say? Here are the key words. Mutov yikone sachetz bivloi bibini. Better the arrow penetrate me and not my child. Now, you'll ask me, will all the birds do the same thing also? No, there's a really difference. All the other birds, they're not going to die. It's not a suicide mission, all of the birds. All the birds, they're afraid the predator will come and attack. If a predator comes and attacks, what's going to happen? The child will be taken away. Okay, but the mother bird lives on. The mother bird lives on. The Nesher is not afraid of other birds. What is the Nesher afraid of? Afraid of human beings. Humans are worse. Humans, they shoot arrows. And when they shoot arrows, what's going to be the casualty? the casualty is going to be when they're going to kill the bird. The mother bird's going to die. So therefore, the mother bird does not want its child. To be injured. Does not want it to be injured. So the mother bird is willing to take the hit. Is willing to put the bird its child above, and that way, if an arrow is shot, mutav better yikones achet spiv loy bebini. So Hashem says, af ani osisi kain. So Hashem says, oh, I did the same thing. I took Klal Yisrael above. V'yisa malach elokim v'yov bein machane Mitzrayim. V'yu Mitzrayim zorkim chitzim v'yavnei belistoros v'ha'onan mekablam. Hashem said that they're throwing the Mitzrayim are throwing missiles, arrows, ballistic missile stones. So Hashem said that I rather have the Anani Hakava will go in front, go behind. Let me take the heat. Let them throw the stones into the Anani HaKavod, which is a disgrace for the Shekhinah, rather than let Klal Yisrael be hit by the Anani HaKavod. So the Chiddush HaRim takes this far and extrapolates this far. He says, when Klal Yisrael was going to Mitzrayim, the Malachim, and maybe not the Malachim, the Umos HaOlam were always saying, why are the Klal Yisrael leaving? Halalu Oivdi Avodah Zarah, Ve'halalu Oivdi Avodah Zarah. Klal Yisrael sunk to such a low level, they committed terrible averos. They're just as bad as the Egyptians. So why does Klal Yisrael deserve to leave Mitzrayim? It's a good question. It was a very difficult question. Hashem says, let them have tainus on me and not on my children. Klal Yisrael, b'ni b'chari Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are Hashem's children. B'ni b'chari Yisrael. Bonim atem Hashem elokeichem. And when there is a complaint against Klal Yisrael, you're not deserving, so who should suffer when there is a complaint? So we should suffer. The Bonim, we're not deserving, so we should not leave. Hashem says, they have a good question, let them have a question, but let the question be on me, but my children should not suffer from this question. I have my cheshbonos, why I want them to leave, zuchos avos, what I promised their forefathers, they have a future, they have potential, the world doesn't understand. There's nothing I can say to them that they'll understand. Better, that's the Kanfei Neshom. The Kanfei Neshom represents a Kadosh Baruch Hu who does things for Klal Yisrael in the presence of the world. And the world does not understand. And the Midas Hadin is Mekadshik. If the world does not understand, it's not fair, don't do kindness for your people. Hashem says, no. The nature of Geula for Klal Yisrael is they're going to get the Geula. The Geula will come to them. There are questions. And the questions have to be worked out, but I'm willing to accept the questions upon myself. They should have complaints against me, but it should not hold back the Geula. The Derech HaOlam is, if there's a problem, there's a stay. There's a stop work order when there's a problem. Hashem says, no, there's no stop work order, let the work continue, and when there'll be problems, I'll have to deal with it. I'll take the heat, not my children. Mutav yekone sachitz bi v'loy bibonai, not in my children. Okay, let's go. Mutav, it's better that the arrow here represents the complaint. It entered me and not enter into my children. Okay, let's go now to the Aseres Hadibros. There's an idea from the Kli Yakar, which I want to elaborate upon. The Kli Yakar asks a very simple question. Why is it that in the first Dibros, in this week's parasha, the reason for observance of Shabbos is because of Maase Bereishis. Why do we observe Shabbos? Ki sheshes yomim oso Hashem es hashma v'yesaretz es yom yes kol hashem b'mayenach b'yom hashvi al kein berach Hashem es yom haShabbos v'yikat sheyu. But in Parshas v'eschanan, when we learn with the Aseres Adibros, why do we observe the Aseres Adibros? Because of Yitzias Mitzrayim. V'zachar ki ev reis v'yaretz Mitzrayim. Hashem took you out of Egypt. Because Hashem took you out of Egypt, Hashem wants you to observe Shabbos. We observe Shabbos in Egypt, we observe Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu told Paro that they'll be more productive, they'll observe when they have Shabbos. Why the difference? So the Kli Yakar says a fascinating insight which really opens up the difference between the two Dibros in a major way. The first set of Dibros was said in the presence of the entire world. Hashem presented the Torah to all the nations of the world. Do you want to come to Torah? And everyone said, what does it say? Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't do this, don't do that. Not for us, sorry. But when the Torah was presented, they were shown what they lost. Chazal say that a bird did not chirp, an animal did not make a sound. The whole world was aware. The whole world came to a halt. The whole world heard, observed Hashem give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. They heard the Aseres HaDibros, which encompasses the entire Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim after 40 days, after he shouted Luchos, then went back to Shemayim for another 80 days, and after 120 days, Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the second set of Luchos, it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu quietly. There was no one present. It was the middle of the night. Olam kimin hagoy nohog. No one saw, no one knew. It was Bitsina. And for that reason, Chazal explained, that's why the first Luchos were shattered. The first Luchos was subject to Ayin Hara. The whole world saw, they were jealous. Ayin Hara caused that the Luchos were shattered. The second set of Luchos was given Bitsina. No one saw, no one knew. And that's why the second Luchos were never shattered. So the Chakli Yaakov says, so this we can understand, we're going to understand that there's only one Torah. That's a Pashut. It's only one Torah. But the Umas HaOlam are watching us. They observe us. We all know we're in the paper. The New York Times, at least one article, someone claims that the New York Times has at least one article a week about Orthodox Jews. If you look carefully, you'll find somewhere in the Times at least once a week about Orthodox Jews. What? Again? Well, not against. We're interesting. We're interesting species. We sell papers. Stories about us are just interesting. So we're in the world is watching. They're very curious. The Torah is telling us there's a difference in how you present the Torah. The Torah is one Torah. In the presence of the Umas HaOlam and the way you observe the Torah in private. And the classic example is Shabbos. You go, why do we observe Shabbos? So the Umas HaOlam, they look at a Jew, you don't work on Shabbos, why don't you work on Shabbos? They have to know an answer. You got to tell them something. Well, you can tell them one of two things. Because we were slaves in Egypt, and Paro was a bad man, and Hashem punished him with 10 plagues, and he was Kriyas Yamsuf, and now we're free. They don't relate to that. They don't understand that. They don't. For the Umos HaOlam, they have to know, we observe Shabbos because God created this world. He created this world in 7 days, and on the day 7 He rested. Hashem rested, we rest. Hashem commanded us to follow in His ways, that on day 7 there should be a day of rest to recognize it's God's world. When the Goyim observe us keeping Shabbos, they have to observe us, because the Luchos Rishonos were given in public in the presence of the entire world. So when the world looks at our observance of Shabbos, and they have to understand, and maybe perhaps that will trickle down to them at least some degree of emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Shabbos is nice and voracious. There is a creator. But Klal Yisrael has to know there's more than that. That's 100% true. But when you come to Shabbos, there's Kedusha Shabbos. There's not just a day of rest where you don't work and you sleep. You make Kiddush, you learn Torah, you do things. There's Kedusha. Where does that Kedusha come from? For us, Yitzias Mitzrayim. The purpose is to leave Egypt, the Ervas Aretz, to be a Mamleches Koyhan in the Goy Kodosh. Hashem took us out of Egypt. It's a private understanding of Torah. You don't take the Torah, everything that we do, and you reveal it to the world. There are parts of Torah or things that we do that the Goyim can relate to, and there are parts of Torah that are not everyone's business. It's none of their business. They don't understand, they never will understand, and they don't relate. And therefore, don't ruin it by giving it to them and showing them. Now, with this idea, we can have the other couple, other at least two other examples. What's another major difference between the first set of Luchos and the second set of Luchos? The word Tov. In the first set of the Luchos, it does not say Leman Yitav Lach. Does not say those are the reason why you should be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim, so that it should be good for you. Good, you'll be good to your parents, I will reward you, you'll have a good life. In the second set of Luchos, it says it. In the second set of Luchos, it says Leman Yitav Lach V'Harach Yom. The Brach of Arichas Yom is only presented in the second Luchos, not in the first Luchos. Why not? So we all know the basic, simple answer is because Chas V'Shalom Shaposka Toiva LeYisrael. Hashem knew that ultimately the first set of Luchos will be shattered, it will be destroyed, and when it's going to be destroyed, we don't know if that has an effect on the world. And if it has, it said the word tov, leman yitav loch, chas v'sholem sheposka toiva miyisrael. Hashem didn't want to destroy, take away good from Klal Yisrael. So Hashem, who knew that the luchos would be shattered, did not write the word tov in the first set of luchos. Hashem waited until he wrote, he put together the second set of luchos. That's the pash pshat, that's what it says in Gemara. That's one approach. But according to the Kli Yakar, it's much deeper. The Goyim ask, why are you so good? Why are you so good to your parents? That's a very big Kiddush Hashem that Klal Yisrael is known for. Go to a Goyisha hospital. Who are the people that have all of the family and the care? It's always the religious people, the Jewish people. The Goyim, it's very sad. It's very, very sad. They're all alone. Their children are not there the way they should be. And they're very surprised. And you hear this. Fortunately, I spent a lot of time in the hospitals, and they're very surprised. They actually ask, what is this? So he'll tell them, you know why? Because God told us that if we'll be good to them, if we'll be good to our parents who are very sick, he'll be good to us. That's a chil Hashem. That's a very big chil Hashem. Oh, you mean you're not doing this because you care about your parents? You're doing this because for yourself. You believe in mysticism. You're from this cult of who knows, and this magic and mysticism. You've been brainwashed. It's a chil Hashem. The first set of luchos were given to Klal Yisrael in the presence of the world. The world was watching. Hashem said, "Kabeir esavicha v'yasimecha." And in fact, that was possibly the most important, because that when Hashem said, "No, Hashem lokecha lo yilcha lo sisa," the Umos Olam said, "Oh, big deal! L'chvoidai, it's all for His own honor." When they saw that Hashem said, "Kabeir esavicha v'yasimecha," then the Umos Olam said, "Ah." Now we see he didn't give them the Torah for his own honor. The fact that he told them to give honor to their parents indicates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them, he's telling them to honor Hashem for real. It's not a game. So we see from this Chazal, I mean, it's clear as day, that the world was watching, the world was listening. If the world's going to hear that the reason why we do Kibbut Avim is because of L'man Yitav Lach, they're not going to understand. Everyone knows that a Jew does not do a mitzvah because of L'man Yitav Lach. We all know that. The Pintel Yidin, every single person does a mitzvah L'shem Shamayim. That is Pashat.
So
that's a bracha. The Torah gives brachas. The Torah is full of brachas. It's full of brachas. But we all know the difference between a Jew and a goy. Shlomo, we learned this in Divrei Hayam. Part of that in Divrei Hayam. Then when Shlomo HaMelech was mispal, when a goy comes to the base of Hamikdash and is mispal, give it to him. Hashem, don't deny a goy what he wants. Because if you're going to deny a goy what he wants, he's going to become a kofer. But a Jew, you can deny. Because even if you don't give the Jew what he wants, he'll still be a maimin. A Jew has a moon. It's rooted in a Jew to believe in Kadosh Baruch Hu no matter what. So we know there's a bracha leman yitav lach, but that's just icing on the cake. That's not the ikar. Everyone is mechaved his parents because the Torah said this is what you're supposed to do. This is how it is. But the Umos HaOlam don't understand that. They don't relate to it. They don't appreciate that. Therefore, when the Torah is being given in public in front of the whole world, you don't say leman yitav lach. They should not get the wrong idea. Another example. All of the dibros are not connected with the letter vav. They're not connected. Lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignav, there's no vav. You got to catch the bal kori. Make sure you don't make any mistakes. Because you get mixed up between the luchos yishon and luchos shnios, each one of the dibros has a vav. So why is there a vav? So there are many answers. One answer is because niskatnu, the second luchos were on a lower level. On the lower level represents the idea of Avera Goyreres Avera. Mitzvah Goyreres Mitzchar Mitzvah. If you do one Avera, you're going to slide down the slippery slope and you're going to go to another Avera. One leads to the next. The Luchos Rishonos, they're on a higher Madrega. Each one was independent. I don't really know the answer. I don't remember the answer. Something I want to focus on. But I just want to focus on this idea that when the Torah is given the presence of the nations of the world, you can't tell them Avav HaChibur. Avav HaChibur means it's all or nothing. You send the wrong message. The wrong message is that all the Ten Commandments are connected. There's a vav that's mechaber one to the next. It's either all or nothing. An average non-Jew has a very difficult concept with of doing the best when you're religious, of doing the best you can. If it's either all or nothing. The only type of carbon which a non-Jew is permitted to bring is a carbon ola. Carbon ola is completely consumed by Klal Yisrael. There's something called a chatos, a shlamim, where part of the animal goes on the mizbech and part of it is for yourself. They don't understand. By goyim, a priest, their religion, they can't get married. You must be a poyrish. Either you're a poyrish or you're mamsh, the other extreme. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. If you were to give the Torah with a vav hachibor, it sends the wrong message. The wrong message is you have to. It's either all or nothing. When it comes to matters of spirituality, if you can't be mekayim all of the 10 dibros, why bother? And no one is perfect. Ain't tzadik baris shayach yaseh tov lo yachta. In front of the world, there are separate commandments: lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignof. Each one is independent. If you fail in one, it doesn't mean you have to fail in another. If a person was nichshol in lo tinaf, the message to the Ummah Sa'olah means it doesn't mean you have to fail. Lo tirtzach. You failed. Okay, so there's rehabilitation. There is some type of help available. But doesn't mean that's it. It's all over. Lo tirtzach. Lo tignov. And so on and so forth. The dibros are given independently to teach, to send the message, do the best you can. Take something, the Ummah Sa'olah also have a chelek, take something and use it as a springboard to make yourself better. It's a very beautiful Yisrael, and it's a very powerful Liman Moshe, because we live in a generation where everything is out in the open. Everything is online, everything is on Facebook, everything is on Twitter, everything, just show it all. Just give it all out. That's wrong. There are things that are meant to be displayed publicly, and there are things that are meant to be private. It's not for the world to see. There are two luchos. There are the luchos for the world, and they're the luchos for us. It's the same thing. It's all the same thing. But it's a matter of presentation, a matter of packaging, how people can relate, not to cause people to be nichshol.
So, go back one more time.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to write it down. The private part is above connecting these for the Jew.
Right. We have to realize there's a concept called mitzvah goyreres mitzvah. You do one mitzvah, it leads to another mitzvah. You do one aveira, it leads to another aveira. You get swept away. That's a very deep concept, which is not understood well by the Ummah Sa'olah. The Ummah Sa'olah, when you teach them that concept, they get turned off. Everything, there's a vav which connects everything. It sets a tone. If you want to be religious, you got to be perfect. We know that's not true. You don't have to be perfect, but we understand what it means. They who look at it on a very simple level, there are 10 commandments. If I'm not going to observe one, or I'm not going to be not observing, they're not mechuyev in the mitzvah. They only have shev mitzvah noach. But at least they understand the concepts of what these things represent. I'm not going to do one, so everything is mutar. That's wrong. Each one is separate, and each one represents an opportunity for them to better themselves and to use the springboard for other things. Okay, now let's go to another short idea. At the end of the parasha, we have the inyan of the mizbeach. After we have the aseres hadibros, people are so overwhelmed. They want to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem Moshe says to them, "Okay, you're going to make a mizbeach. The way you're going to be able to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu is mizbeach adama tasali, make a mizbeach v'zavachta lov esalosach v'yashlamecha sonucha v'spikarecha." And then it's something very bizarre. The very last pasuk is loisale v'malos al mizbeach yasher lo sigol ervoscha alav. I remember as a child, he was so brainwashed. As we get older, what's this ramp? This long, long ramp going up to the Mizbech. I mean, it's the first time you see a model of the Beis HaMikdash. Isn't it bizarre? It's six, how many amos long? It takes up most of the Azara. This massive, massive ramp. Pasuk. Loisale v'malois al Mizbechi asher lo sigole ervos chola. Because the Kohanim wore tunics, and if they would spread their legs, take steps, that would cause the error to be exhausted. The simple understanding of the pasuk is, it's a bizoyon. The Beis HaMikdash is a place of tznius for men. No tight clothing. If you're reading the Flapper Shtush. For men. The men have to wear loose-fitted...
Worst of all,
loose. Lo Sigol, I'm surprised no one quoted all the letters to the editor. No one quoted. No one quoted this pasuk. Lo Sala v'malos al mizbichi asher lo Sigol ervoschalof. So what with Pashim Shad is, it's a bizoyer. You are disgracing the mizbeach by exposing the erva in this holy location. That is a simple interpretation. That's what Rashi says. Because you're wearing beneath the tunic, you're wearing pants, you're wearing undergarments. You are disgracing the holiness of the Mokom by taking large steps. So let me ask you a question. Question is, and then he goes further, to read the Rashi, V'aridu Yom Kal V'chomer. O'ma'a vonim, halolu she'enu behem das, l'hakbid al b'zoyin amat ha-Torah, ho'el v'yesh b'm tzorich lo'itinag b'om minig b'zoyin. Chaverecha, alachas kama, your friend, shuhu b'dmus yoitz, so a human being that's betzelim alokim alachas kam lekamu makbid al bezion alachas kam lekamu, you have to be careful not to cause him embarrassment. So let me ask you a very simple question. Let's go to a location that's even more holy than the Azara. Let's go into the Heichal. There's the menorah, and what is this Gemara? Gemara explicitly says there are three steps, and there's a lot of Kabbalistic and yonim, the significance of the three steps, and every single day the kohen goes in, even the kohen gol Aron HaKohen lights the menorah, the haloischa es haneros. Say the lois salad and alis al misri the halois chesanis when you go up to light the neros the halois chesanis. So and there are three steps. So what's the pshat? Why are there three steps when you come to light the menorah? So this is a difficult sibyl. You can answer that ain a daimer going up three steps to going up 9 amos. So when you're going up a mizbeach, that's 9 amos to the top. So that would require a lot of steps, and there are a lot of kohanim, and he's doing it non-stop, the whole day back and forth. A menorah! You're going up 3 steps, 3 probably small steps, just to be able to reach the top of the menorah, and it's only one person, twice a day. So now the Torah is not so makbid on that. That's a very simple answer. But I want to give you another answer, another approach. Besides the approach that Rashi gives of lo sigaler v'aschalav, that you're being mevazeh, it's human nature that when a person's erva is exposed, he's embarrassed. Any person that's not embarrassed of being without clothing is not a person. This is missing something in their head. It's just not. That's not the way Hashem created people. Ma'aseh bereishis, Adam v'Chava. They were Arum, and they were embarrassed. They were embarrassed, and they made it for themselves. Kasha made kostos. They first made chaguros. Just you're not a human being if you're not ashamed to be in such a matzav. It's embarrassing. Besides the fact that you're being mevazeh the stones, if you're going to take wide steps, to some degree, the same way Rashi says, there is some darg of gili erva. You're in a matzav where you're uncovered to a certain degree. Same way Rashi says that. There's shame. There's busha. There's a degree of busha. So what does the Torah say? There are two different services that we're comparing. The service of bringing korbanos and the service of lighting the menorah. What is the symbolism of bringing a korban? Sacrifice. Bein shalaylam, I have sinned or I have not sinned. I want to give you my neshama. I want to give you everything. Sacrifice. Kiddush Hashem. I'm ready to go, I'll kiddush Hashem. But I can't, Torah says should do. So this is a replacement, this is the next best thing. I'll give you an animal. Giving the animal represents giving up your life, al kiddush Hashem sacrifice. When it comes to lighting the menorah, what are you doing in essence? Torah. The Or HaMenorah represents the Or of Torah. There are many Mamari Chazal. The menorah represents light, Hanukkah, it's all about Torah. When it comes to sacrifice, when a person has in life time to make, is required in life to make sacrifices, you should not feel embarrassed. When you need to give, you have to do it in a matzav where of dignity. Because if you're going to feel embarrassed, you're not going to make a sacrifice. When a person makes a sacrifice, you're giving everything. And when you're giving everything, you have to do so in a state of dignity. There were many people who did al kiddush Hashem. Before they did al kiddush Hashem, they got dressed and they did so in a state of a dignified way. It has to be done. That's the Musar Haskel. Don't go to a sacrifice, to a makom of giving up your life, of in a state of bizyonos. Go with dignity. Make sure your erev is not exposed. Do it with, be proud, be honored to do so. When it comes to learning, to Torah, the Torah is not so generous. V'loy habayshan lomit. A person who's embarrassed is not going to end up learning. When it comes to learning, you have to be mevazi yourself. You have to go the extra step. When it comes to light, the nearest of the Torah, you have to do, in order to be zocha to Torah, to succeed in learning Torah, you have to do things which are beneath your dignity sometimes. If you're going to be, if you're in a matzav where you're embarrassed, and therefore you're not going to do so, you're not going to succeed. Even in the matzav of being embarrassed, of asking a foolish question, different examples of being asked, a person, I'm afraid to ask a question, because if I ask a question, I'm going to be viewed as an idiot, as a fool, and then I don't want to be. No, ask the question. It's kedai for you to be embarrassed, to say something foolish. That way you'll be taught the halacha, and that way you'll become a Talmud Chacham. It's a necessary step to go through bizyonos and shame, and to be corrected. You go through a process of a Rebbe correcting and giving Musar and bringing the embarrassment. That is what brings greatness in a person. Going through, being willing to suffer the bush or chlima in achieving a higher level of understanding Torah. So when it comes to the menorah, that's right. There are steps. Or there's a little bit of embarrassment, you're going to take some white steps, and you're going to feel a little bit of shame that I'm a little bit uncovered? That's right. That's what's required of you, because if you're not going to go, be willing to accept upon yourself that shame, then you'll never get where you're supposed to go. But when it comes to sacrifice, so that Hashem doesn't want. There's a different lesson that a person should give up of himself with dignity and not in a state of bizyonos. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos. Take care.